I am so excited that for 2024, Your Brand Amplified is proudly sponsored by one of my favorite platforms, Simplified. This AI-driven platform is a game changer for design and video content. With Simplified, I can effortlessly transform lengthy videos, such as my podcast, into engaging, shareable clips and streamline workflows with an intuitive subtitle generator. For designers out there, you can explore the AI-powered image generator, create compelling presentations, and design eye-catching YouTube thumbnails with ease. Revolutionize your creative process at simplify.com with a free trial. Now let's dive into today's guest.
Welcome to Your Brand Amplified, the podcast where we interview marketers, publicists, and brands to learn their stories, what makes them tick, and tips and tricks that make a difference.
This is Annika Jackson with Your Brand Amplified, and I am super excited to have somebody, or I want to say one of my people before we got on the show. We're both Asian in some regard or other, so I love that. I love seeing successful people in this space particularly, because I don't think there's a lot of us in the U.S. that can show up like this. So Jason Fisico, Fizzy is your company. Thank you for being here.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Yeah. So you have been in digital marketing for quite a while, and now you have changed course a little bit. So I'd love for you to talk about your background, what you were doing, and then the pivot that you took.
Yeah, for sure. I always wanted to get into marketing. So the very beginning, it's funny. So back when I was like 18, 19, I knew already then that I wanted to get into marketing, but no one was going to take me seriously with no experience and also being young. They're like, oh no, kid, like, give it a couple of years, right?
Yeah.
I got that. So I was just like, well, what company would it take someone for free if they were willing to work like crazy?
Right, right.
So actually, my first bit of work experience, I worked full-time, 18, 19, at this agency. And even back then, when it wasn't usual to do remote work, I worked for them remotely. So actually, almost my whole career was remote, but I worked for them for free. And my gig was this: you teach me how to do this stuff, I'll work for you for free. And so I did that for 5 months before I ever started getting paid. Obviously, that's illegal, and I know that now, but for that agency, they were teaching me a lot. And after hours, the two partners were sitting down with me and teaching me a lot of stuff. So all in all, I was putting in 110 hours a week. Right. But I was learning at an accelerated rate. And then after that, you know, I had a couple businesses. I freelanced a lot, worked at some notable agencies. And then over the course of my freelancing, ended up producing over 100 million for my clients. I was doing everything from building the landing pages myself, building the videos and graphics myself, doing all the copy, running the ads, building the back end email SMS automations, doing the Zapier automations where when someone buys something, they're automatically added to a platform. I was doing all of the above, and I was just killing myself for years, but really learning the game. To date, I've spent over $76,000 on online digital marketing courses and all that. And then now we have what is Fizzy, which is basically me and people that I've pulled from my past employment and things like that. All the best that I know in my network, I pulled them all together. We formed a team. And that's what Fizzy is now. And I feel we are really disrupting the space because we're definitely doing things that I just haven't seen anywhere else.
Yeah. Like what? Explain.
So like, for example, we've had several clients where we do six-figure launches, right? Because most of our clients, they sell high-ticket online coaching programs, online courses, or maybe they're selling a done-for-you service like Amazon automation.
Damn.
Right? So we've had a good amount of six-figure launches there. And so something that we do different, and I have a really, really controversial view on this.
Okay.
Now, don't get me wrong. When we build out your systems, your landing pages, your graphics, your videos, we take pride and we do it well.
Mm-hmm.
My controversial view is this. You can have the ugliest ads, the ugliest landing pages, even beginner media buyers on your team. But if you have the best copywriters, you will get results no matter what.
Yeah.
And so something that we thrive on, which really changes the game, is the biggest part of our payroll is copywriters. If you don't focus on really good copywriters, everything else doesn't matter. Now, of course, we have systems in place. I've done all this myself. I know how to build beautiful landing pages. Therefore, I can run a team to do that.
Yeah.
I know how to build beautiful like email and SMS, the templates and all sorts of things. That's no problem. But with copywriters, we're able to accelerate the phase to go from concept to major launch, or if you're already an established business, which is actually our target audience, to go from where you are now to where you want to be. Because like a lot of people that come in, they're established businesses, but they're hitting a plateau. And they're just like, no matter what we do, we advertise on Facebook, we advertise on Google, we advertise on YouTube. It's just not getting anywhere. But when we really break it down, it's their copy. It's their copy. They'll be like, wow, we have these beautiful landing pages, right? And they're converting at a high rate. So that can't be it. It's like, we're targeting all these people. We have a list of millionaires. We're targeting those. It's not going anywhere. And I'm like, you're not hitting the wrong people. And your pages aren't ugly. It's your copy. And so one little shift there, we bring my team on, which is basically copywriters. They come in, they change the copy, and literally overnight, they're seeing like their conversion rates not even go higher, but they're converting a high percentage of people that can actually afford their highest ticket products. And even more to step onto that, what we are doing too is we are simplifying their business model. We have people who come in, they have 8 different offers, and we're like, what's your most expensive one? And they're like, oh, it's this 25 grand offer, but I don't know, it's like really expensive. And I'm like, okay, let's just focus on that one. And our most successful clients who hit their first 6 or 7 figures in monthly recurring revenue, they get there because they focus and go all in on 1 or 2 offers. And we just go for their most expensive ones. And so that's another controversial one. People think, oh no, we have to warm them up. We have to sell them.
Right, you have to sell the $19 or $27 or whatever offer and then scale them.
But our data has shown time and time again, the lifetime value of a customer, when you bring them in at a $20 offer, it doesn't compare to when you just go straight for the meat and try to sell the high ticket off the bat.
Yeah.
And then also, we've also found it is significantly more profitable to sell a $20,000 offer and be profitable than it is to go in volume and sell these $20 offers.
Yeah. It's so funny because, and I've made this mistake as an entrepreneur. Yeah. When I moved back to LA from Houston a few years ago, and it's like, I have to prove myself all over again. So I'm going to not charge a lot because, and I got tons of volume of clients. Like I scaled really quickly, but I also scaled my team up quickly. And, you know, that's also not something you want to do. And people always think you have to do that to prove yourself. And now I teach at USC and I tell my grad students, like, one of them was going to start an agency. He's like, I'm doing 60 to 90 day free trial. I'm like, nope. No, you are not. Because you're not going to attract the people who actually value your time.
Exactly.
No, it's so hard though, because there are so many people who need our help that you always want to like go back to like, okay, I'll charge less. But then it never ends up going well, I feel like, you know, or rarely goes well. So you're saying go to your highest offer, go after the people who you know can actually afford right now.
Yeah. Exactly. So to me at this point, it's almost common sense that if you can actually do what you are offering and you have a proof of concept that people who can afford it see the value, there's nothing stopping you from just focusing on that other than your own internal feeling that, oh, like maybe I'm charging too much or anything like that.
Yeah.
I've found like, there is always a market to sell higher ticket and you'll actually have an easier time.
Mm-hmm.
The clients who I charge anywhere from like 10 to 30 grand a month.
Wow.
Their mindset is very much like, okay, we're hoping to get some like to break even in like 3 months. Cool. But then the clients who you charge like 2 grand a month, they're like, oh my God, how's my money doing? How's my money doing? Are these ads working? Is the funnel working? Do you need anything? And then it's like, there's nothing wrong with that, right? Like some people really thrive in going to that market. But who I serve is people who already want to sell higher ticket and are already in that kind of field where they're selling high ticket, right? Now, I can't speak too much to people who want to sell low ticket and volume. That's a different game.
Yeah.
But those who already have high ticket packages, mainly people who have like an expensive service, like maybe, hey, I'll do your cold email marketing for you. Mm-hmm. Or I'll build you graphics, I'll build you videos, like things like that. Like you have to charge a little bit more or else you're going to be stuck in the grind of these clients who demand too much from you, but don't pay you enough, you know?
Yeah. Now let's just talk about your mindset though, because you went from working for free, 100, plus hours a week to learn the business.
Yeah.
Invested a lot of money in learning. I mean, you basically paid for a master's degree.
I guess, yeah.
And then to starting your own businesses and then launching this. So what was your mindset shift like when you went from that beginning perspective? Because I'm sure you had to go through some of these same things too and realize, oh yeah, it's actually easier to deal up here.
Yeah. So my initial intention was like, I've seen from people like friends of friends, family of friends, that people in marketing can make six figures. I was like, wow, that's incredible. I want to make six figures one day. Like, I'll give my 10 years of hard work and make my six figures, right? But I very quickly learned, because at companies I was working with, I had clients that I was doing the marketing for, even freelance clients too, where, you know, they were making millions net every year. And I could see in the back end what was actually attributing to that income. And all I could bring it down to was like, it was their online ads, it was their funnels, and it was their automations. I'm like, wait a minute. Why can't I do this for myself? These guys are making millions.
Off of your work. Yeah.
I'm not going to name names. I even had clients who were selling digital marketing courses. They were making significantly more from selling their courses than they from their actual like services. And I was thinking to myself like, wait, I'm literally doing far beyond what they're teaching in the courses, and I'm making them more money than, and I'm taking like this minimum wage. What am I doing that's wrong? Like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
I learned very quickly, wait a minute. So maybe I can make more money if I freelance, right? And so I've had some friends and they're like, oh, I charge 500 a month. I'm like, 500 a month for one client? You're kidding. You're kidding. Like, so if I charge 500 a month for multiple clients, only a handful of clients, I can quit my job and do that. It's like, wait, there's something wrong here. And then that went on. And as I helped more clients, so 2 years ago, I had a client. She made $44 million that year with a 27 profit. 27 million net profit. Her payroll was only a million. And the rest went to the bank. And that was like my breaking point too, where I was like, I'm clearly in the wrong game. I have to figure out how I can use my skills I already have to magnify this. So that's where Fizzy comes in. I have a partnership model where we will only make money when our clients make money. And so it's a very fair deal. If the clients aren't making money, we're not making money, right?
Wow.
So as our clients scale, we get to scale and they feel it's fair, because that new explosive growth that they get, it doesn't happen without us.
Yeah.
And so that was like the big epiphany. Everyone wins together and no one's cheaped out. It's not like, oh, pay this expensive retainer and that's it. It's like, no, there's more to it.
Yeah.
No.
Oh my God, I love that. I want to talk about something else you mentioned, which is a lot of your team is copywriters. And now we live in the world of AI where everybody thinks they can just put everything into ChatGPT. And if you know how to do the prompts, you can get pretty close. There's supposed to be a human element. But how is that different than what your team does? Because you know that's a question people are asking.
For sure. And just to clarify, so I think I misworded that. Like our team has a pretty even distribution. It's just that where we go big in terms of payroll is copywriters.
Yeah.
Because that's the most important element. If we don't have our copywriters, we won't get results in the store. But in terms of AI, I have another controversial view on that. Because a lot of people are saying, hey, AI is going to replace a lot of marketing jobs and all of that. I truly believe that AI will only replace people who didn't have the high level skills to begin with.
Interesting.
So we use AI, but it's not a matter of, oh, AI generates this prompt and then we go use what AI wrote. It's AI gives the ideas and streamlines the research. It streamlines the ideas. It streamlines ideas for like hooks and opening lines. Yep. But at the end of the day, it still takes a high-level copywriter who has seen over hundreds of landing pages, over hundreds of ads, what is actually going to convert. And then they take that skill, they edit what the AI shoots out to make it actually work.
Yeah.
So AI saves time, but it doesn't replace.
Yeah.
Now, if we were looking for junior copywriters who maybe are fresh out of college, I could see how we would have let them go very quickly with AI. But if you want like high level results, you still need really good writers.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you. I do think AI will replace some jobs, but I think when I've spoken to AI experts, where it's going to replace more jobs are things that people don't even want to do anymore. Automation, factory work, things that people just don't want those kind of jobs, but that gives more freedom to be able to be creative. So you can take what the AI does, but then, like you said, you're creating something completely different it's just a starting point, or you're taking some copy that you've already written, putting it through and saying, oh yeah, that's a word that I should use that I didn't think of.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so exactly. So for job functions where maybe there's not a lot of skill involved, where you can really take someone entry level, for example, answering Google reviews or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
For a client, we already have automations in place for that. We have an automation where as soon as they get a Google review, ChatGPT-4 generates a good response, and then someone manually reviews all the responses and then automatically puts it on.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Because I have seen those reviews where sometimes like somebody gets a bad review and then I'm like, definitely, that's a bot that said, oh, thank you for blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that's not what they said.
So. Exactly. And then very basic customer service questions, same thing. We have ChatGPT, because there's often common questions, right? ChatGPT can automatically reply to all those prompts, or it'll at least message one person. And that person can then decide to write that prompt or edit it a little bit. So one person can do the customer service, online digital customer service, for probably hundreds of clients.
Wow.
So that's something that we're already doing. But when it comes to like the marketing itself and getting results, we can't replace good copywriters.
Yeah.
So that's just like the free initiation, you know? So.
Well, and another question I wanted to ask you is your view on US teams versus overseas teams.
Okay. Yeah, so that's a really good question. So for us personally, any of our high-level stuff, like automations, copywriting, ads, we do that in-house in the US, right? So they're either in Pacific time zone, Central, or Eastern, right? Really simple. Now, that is my personal preference for one specific thing. When it comes to managing a client's data, right? I don't feel comfortable like outsourcing that to team members.
Mm-hmm.
Who are like contract agreement doesn't keep them accountable. Anything can go wrong. And I've actually seen it in a previous client.
Oh, wow.
Like businesses. And this was back when I was employed at different companies. I've seen it where a client, they have a team of VAs who have access to all their data and things like that. One time for a real estate coaching client, she had a VA that she fired because that VA just kept accidentally breaking things in the back end, right?
Oh.
She fired that person right on the spot. And what that VA did, because they didn't remove access for another couple of days, what that VA did was go in the back end, break email automations, like probably 20 of them. She broke email automations. She broke integrations for data. She broke all sorts of different things. And it took 3 months for the team to get even close to where they were before in terms of their internal infrastructure.
Wow.
And you can't do anything about it. That person went ghost, blocked them all on social media.
Yes.
Nothing you can do, right?
Yeah.
So I believe like for that reason alone, you shouldn't have anything that is connected to data outsourced. Now, don't get me wrong. I have seen companies outsource like high-level marketing to other countries, but just know that that does come with a risk.
Yeah. You have to find the right people, and you have to know, like,
exactly.
Right? It's hard to trust people if you're not in the same time zone.
Exactly.
Or at least, like, within a, you know, few-hour range. I do work with a few people who are overseas. My editor is in the Philippines, and so is my admin, but she came through him and his wife, right? So I've been working with him for over a year, so I'm like, I knew I trusted him. And then he brought me somebody that I could trust, and it's been phenomenal. But I've tried working with VAs before that I got from some company, and there were so many barriers that just didn't work. And they weren't doing this work. They weren't as in-depth, right, with like my everyday information.
Yeah.
But still, it's really hard to figure out who to hire, how to hire the right
people.
That's
perfect.
So.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
I would even go as much as to say that probably that if you are going to use VAs, the best way to hire them is through American staffing companies. So there are a lot of American staffing companies where you can get VAs at the same rate that you would if you were to find them through any other VA staffing site. But you do it specifically through an American company, because then there's the accountability right there.
Yeah.
You can get the VA rates for the things that you need, but then you also have the accountability where like if things go wrong, there is a company liable, and then your contract still works.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my two cents on there.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. I think a VA agency that's based in Vegas, that does that, that hires people overseas, but they're right there. So I love that. And I think that there's a mix of people that you need to make business successful.
Exactly.
Now, for your business, you talked about how you don't make money until your clients make money, but they have to pay for some things, right? They have to pay for advertising, or they do have some upfront costs.
Exactly. So how we work is like, when our clients spend money on advertising, obviously they need some sort of budget to be able to continue running their ads. And then the whole point of the ads is you get enough people into your funnel and then you make some sort of return on that, right? So how we do it is, you're not going to spend more on advertising unless it's working.
Mm.
So rather than doing a rev share, like a lot of people do, they say, oh, we're going to charge you 7% of your profits.
Mm.
I think that's like not fair, because you can come in with a fresh client and already charge them a percentage of profit. And like, that's profit that they're getting from all their work prior before you, right?
Hello.
That doesn't work. Like, to me, that's not fair, but a lot of agencies do that. So instead, we charge a percentage of their advertising spend.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right? And so that's fair, right? So if it's not working, you're going to cut back on spend.
Mm-hmm.
If it is working, you're going to increase the spend.
Right.
So our game is, we want the highest return on your ad spend. Mm-hmm. So that all you want to do is keep increasing it.
Mm.
So we win and you win.
Yeah.
So that is our model. That's how it works.
Oh, nice.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And I have heard that before, but you do all the other work as well. So then that's all just rolled into that fee.
Exactly. It's all rolled in. So our thing is like, well, we're not going to take you on unless we know for a fact that we can get there. Because if we take on a client, we're like, oh, maybe we'll get the results, maybe not.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to lose out so hard because, like, my team's not cheap, you know? So in order to pay all of them and then still have a healthy profit, mm-hmm. we have to take a big bet. So we have this like really simple process. It's really just like two meetings. But in that first one, like we already have this checklist, right? So I will eventually talk to them and I will get on the call and ask them like just a whole list of questions. Okay, mm-hmm. So what is this? What are your numbers here? How are you doing this? And that's how we can determine it. And so far, it's really great. That system already works for us. We don't need to speak for weeks. Two quick calls. I say quick calls, but each one's probably... But two calls, and then we can determine everything we need to know if this is a good fit. And at this point, all of our new clients coming in, it's more than enough for us to handle. We're getting about maybe 20 to 50,000 MRR referred to us each month. And I think that's more enough for us. Like, we can scale and like do our own marketing, but we don't need to. Like, think of it this way. We're getting that kind of growth in new business, but we don't have social media. We don't do any of our own marketing. We don't need to. We go all in on the service and it refers itself because of that. And so we're all in on that whole process and it's just our thing. It works. And we also don't aim to have hundreds of clients.
Cool.
Our thing is just a handful of partnerships
mm-hmm.
that we can go big with.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's our
goal. Well, you just answered a whole bunch of my questions at once.
Okay.
So that was good, because I was going to ask about that. Like, how much do you want to scale? Like, what do you see next for your business? And like,
oh, okay.
Yeah. So what else do you want to do with your business? I mean, you're going to take a few handful of clients at a time, but you don't have to do your own marketing, but you've proven that you know how to do the marketing really well, obviously, through the client success stories that you have.
Yeah, I think we ultimately, this model just really, really works. We're not going for a lot of clients. We're going for a few and really good partnerships, but there's always a next step. Like, there's always like where we can get to a point where we're paying like salaries upwards of 300,000, right? Like, and we're getting truly the best of the best. There's also another way we can do it is we start partnering with billion-dollar companies, right? There's always that next step, but right now this is comfortable. We're growing and we're very profitable. Our clients are very profitable. And then at the same time, because we're small, we're able to give very, very intimate attention. I'm able to jump on calls with all of our clients because it's very doable. And at the same time, no one on the team needs to work 40 hours a week. That is one of our, like, I think the biggest like secret sauces too, because when your team doesn't feel overworked, but they also feel like paid very well proportionally,
exactly.
Like they're always like, Jason, what do you need? Anything? What do our clients need? Anything? You know? So, and it's such a great culture, right? That's all people want. Great money and not have to work too much.
Yep. Yeah, and to do work they love and know that like they're valued, that's like
exactly.
That's the best that you could do. So it sounds like you feel like you're just in a really good spot. You are valued by your clients, you value your team, you found your sweet spot, you went through the trenches, you figured out like what your secret sauce is, and now you're here sharing it with us.
Yes. Yeah, it's fun.
Amazing. Is there any one thing that you would tell somebody out there who is an aspiring entrepreneur, wants to launch a course or do something in the online space, have a high ticket offer, that they should be really thinking about right now as one of their first steps?
I don't know if there's like one thing, but one thing that does come to the top of mind is that I feel like if you do this one thing, you're very set up for success. And that one thing is, if you can genuinely know all there is to know about your specific niche, you're gonna figure it out. And so if I go to a more granular level, what that translates into is, if you know everything there is about like what people are charging, what they are offering, how to increase your better offer, how to make your offer better for that specific niche, how people are marketing that offer with success, who are the players to watch in that niche, what are the strategies that people are using in that niche? What is working in that niche? Everything there is to know about selling it and doing the service itself. If you can learn everything there is to know about that, you're in good hands. I think the only reason that people don't find success in their specific niche is because they're allowing themselves to be ignorant on a lot of very different like aspects, and they're not doing anything to learn about it. It's like, sure, you can outsource those things, but if you outsource something that you know nothing about, you'll never know what is good work.
Exactly.
And so I did my due diligence. I spent years doing 100-hour weeks, learning every single part, so that when I outsource it, I know exactly who's like giving me good work and who's like, you know, just taking a paycheck.
Yeah.
Everything from the sales part to the marketing part to keeping the clients, I've done that. All the clients that we have right now, well, okay, most of them that we have right now, I sold myself, right? I had to learn all that. I'm not a sales guy, but I know like who's actually good and who's not, you know? And I know industry standard. What are the numbers that people are looking at in terms of what is a close rate? Am I near that? Oh, I'm not. Okay, what do I need to learn, or who do I need to hire? And so I know.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Amazing.
Know everything there is about your industry, and you'll be okay.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, we should all be continuously learning. So there's always something new to learn about your industry.
For sure.
And I also usually ask people if they have a favorite quote or mantra, motto, as my last question.
Probably, okay, I like watching some of Alex Hormozi's stuff. And I've always said something similar to it, but he says it better. So confidence comes as a result of actually doing it, not the other way around. And then from another book, motivation comes as a result of progress. So you don't get confidence or motivation unless you do it, figure it out, and then make progress. So I was just like, oh, wow, that's cool.
Yeah, I love those. Well, thank you so much for sharing your journey with us. This has been amazing. Jason, so if people want to find more out about your services, fizzymedia.com is the best place to go?
Yes, fizzymedia.com. So that's FIZZI media.com.
Fantastic. Thank you to the audience for watching or listening to this episode of Your Brand Amplified. Thank you to Jason for being here today and sharing your wisdom. I'm excited about learning more about what you do. I think it fits in really well with some things that I'm about to start. So we'll be having that conversation separately.
Yeah.
And thank you again to everybody. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, follow, do all the things to help us get served to more amazing entrepreneurs.
Want more? Check out amplifywithannika.com or follow me on socials at amplifywithannika.
As we close out today's episode, I want to thank Simplified again for making it possible. For all marketers and creators out there, Simplified is your ally in effortlessly crafting on-brand content with design and video AI. Discover how AI can enhance your creative process at simplify.com. Start for free and elevate your content game. Thanks for listening, and here's to your next creative breakthrough.